A lot of the problems that DCYF is dealing with is not just opioid related. I mean, this was an agency that was really short staffed, short funded for a long time. And New Hampshire has had a problem with substance use disorders for a long time. It's not just opioid. The opioid epidemic has absolutely exacerbated all of that. So we are seeing more problems, more work, more overload. It's really infiltrated everything about the child welfare system.
I wanted to get your thoughts personally on how you're feeling that, not only how DCYF is doing in their efforts, but how you see things going generally in the state. Do you feel like things are going in the right direction? Are people paying attention to what they need to?
We have mixed reviews on that. And you've heard in the news recently, you know, we just had a federal report that said the child welfare system is failing. We've had a lot of issues that are reported publicly. We have lawsuits. So it does seem like it's a big mess, but it is a big mess that stems from, you know, 10 years ago when a lot of cuts were made. There are a lot of people who are really committed. At DCYF, there's a whole new leadership team. We did a good job in the legislature last session getting started, money for voluntary services so that there was sort of start rebuilding that infrastructure to help families before they abuse or neglect kids. But it really was like just incremental in terms of what we need. You know, we need another 175 caseworkers. We got 33 last session. I mean, that's huge. That's a huge amount of money.
Can you explain what the process is like when you have to go in and there has to be a separation of children from parents who are struggling with addiction?
What happens is if they're able to find very clear evidence that a child is at risk of being or is being abused or neglected, they will remove the child. Within 12 months, that child has to return to their family or they have to have some other family. So there's an understanding that children need permanency. They use the word permanency. So here's where the problem starts, because by law, over this 12 months that a child is in care, the agency has to do every single thing they can to reunite the child with the family. And the sort of legal requirements and the child development needs and recovery needs are all diabolically opposed to each other. It's really hard for people to just recover, you know, on a schedule like that. We know relapse is normal. We know we have a dearth of services for people to get into to help them with their recovery. We know that when people are involved with opioids, there's a lot of other co-occurring problems like housing, employment, transportation. So all of those things just sort of overwhelm a lot of parents. And where we are so good intentioned on thinking we need to get this child to be visiting with parents and working towards reunification, and oh, by the way, maybe this parent is being asked to go to parenting classes, maybe go to see a therapist. So that's like a really busy week. And another piece that surrounds all of this, opioid use, tends to be at times some level of criminality. I mean, people who are really desperate with their addictions may be involved in illegal things that kids are exposed to. So it just sort of, there's all these many things that are coming upon. So that well-intended reunification process over those 12 months creates yet another imposed inconsistency in the child's life. The child is yanked back and forth. I have to go to these visits. The visits don't happen. Someone didn't show up. Someone had an outburst. You know, people's behaviors are thus. And so even in that time where the child thinks, well, I'm in this safe place in this foster home, but I'm still being exposed to these other things. So we're not giving the child the emotional safe place that they need over the long term.
So you have discussed, I know, that there's alternatives to this current separation and unification process. What do those alternatives look like?
Well, it's really a challenge because I've never met a child who didn't want, regardless of the circumstances, to have some relationship with their biological parent. I mean, it's just in many years that I've done this work, they all want to be connected. So you don't want to say, like, we're going to turn our backs on biological parents. But we do need to think about, you know, what is the healthiest thing for this child in their development, especially very young children whose brains are just developing. So I think that we'll hope to see more what's called voluntary mediated adoptions, which are sort of a co-parenting model. So the foster parent maybe will adopt this child. There's still an avenue for the biological parent to have some role in that child's life once they've recovered. Some people use guardianship. You know, a family member can become the guardian. And then, you know, when the parent gets their recovery under control, then they can transfer the guardian back to the parents. Those are all sort of options that we're not really seeing a great deal of, the sort of open adoptions for sharing the parenting. Those are difficult because if I adopt your child and you continue to have really problematic behaviors, I don't necessarily want you to show up here and disrupt this child's life all the time. It all comes down to permanency and consistency. Can we manage it? So it really is individually based. You know, we have to figure out what's going to work for each family. We have to have hard conversations about the capacity for someone to recover. Some people work really hard, and they do what they can to continue to engage their children and be a good parent. And some people just have the cards stacked against them. It may be a long time before they're capable of really thinking about children and children's needs. So do we have other options? We should definitely be open to them. Is it going to work for everybody? Someone is going to have a loss at some point. As a child advocate, our obligation is to make sure the child's needs are met. Having a biological parent is one of those needs, but not when that parent is really disrupting the development of that child.